We're recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woi-wurrung people, and we acknowledge them as traditional owners. We'd also like to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Midnight to midnight. Welcome. Screening. Welcome to midnight screening. Welcome to screening. Welcome to midnight screening. I am screaming. I am screaming. I am screaming.
Welcome to Midnight Screening, where we let you stay up past your bedtime with the movies you probably shouldn't be watching. I'm Eliza Jansen.
I'm Noah Jansen, and I haven't been able to stay up late for movies at all in the middle of this
kaiju attack on Melbourne.
It's been taking up all of my time. I haven't been able to get a wink of sleep.
I don't know. It's been pretty quiet lately. I wonder what's going on with Swoopilla and Kobu.
And Kobu. Oh. Kobu.
That's him. That's Kobu.
That's my guy. Is he still alive? Oh, yeah. There you go. He is. Okay, let's go have a look. How are they doing?
They're in a strange state at the moment. I don't know. Something's happening, but they're not fighting anymore. Something's happened.
They're like nesting. Wow. It's almost as though the world is healing, or?
Are they in an enemies to lovers arc?
Oh, my gosh. Really? Oh, my gosh. Look. Look at them.
They're macking on each other.
They're getting down.
It still sounds horrible.
Yeah, the sound, that's what the sounds are.
Anthony, have you been affected by Swoopilla and Kobu's attacks?
Maybe my finger's getting a bit sore.
Don't spoil the secret. That's the pageantry of cinema. Oh my God. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Actually, if anyone is good at art and stuff and can make Kobu become
you're
a reality.
Kobu and Swoopilla fan art.
Yeah, I need it. Especially so I can finally attach. Look, I'm going to be really honest with everyone. When I wanted to make a kangaroo kaiju,
with a snake for a
I
tail.
Forgot that he had a snake for a tail.
Yeah.
So every time I try to remember his name, I just think of a cold brew. A cobra. Tail is cool.
I'm going to draw them and I'll work a cold brew in somehow. Like he has that. That's what he's in his pouch, coffee. That's so Melbourne as well. Yeah, oh my God, that's so
very,
Melbourne.
Very Melbourne. And wow. Then whereabouts are they backing on right now? In Fed Square, of course.
Yeah.
Or in the Yarra.
Ew, that'll kill them.
That would be the start of one of these stories. It's just their skin. Like instead of an atomic bomb being the thing that incites
just
it,
piss.
It's just the pissy quality of the Yarra River.
There are some kids on like a school excursion to Science Works and they like go into like a restricted area.
Exactly.
They like take a wrong turn and like leave the rest of the group and they hear these like crazy noises from around the corner.
Look away.
Lights start flickering.
And also a Melbourne version of these stories would be someone picking up a tram as well. Like Godzilla, like picking up the tram and like shaking it empty.
And the tram is like, ding, 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 ding. He comes up and gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Under a week from the first appearing, they both have like craft beers.
And little beanies, like floppy beanies.
Yeah. They're like tatted up.
I don't know if I'm ready to say goodbye to this beautiful marathon we've had. A marathon not just in the sense that we
not
talked
here,
about
podcasting, also like we were there,
we experienced.
Soon we'll have to shut up about it.
We will.
These movies we're talking about today, Mothra vs. Godzilla and Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack. We'll come up with another name for that.
But it's almost such a cruel thing to do to be like, not only is it like 5 a.m. that you're watching this movie, but it also has the longest fucking title in the world.
Yeah, hilariously unwieldy title. Yeah. Both of these movies, I'm really interested to revisit them because, they were the last movies we saw in the marathon.
They were.
And we were in strange mental states.
Truly.
While watching.
It's a thing where like so last week on our Patreon, head to Patreon, become a friend of the show to listen to that.
The second installment of the Godzilla song.
The second installment. We talked about Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla and the return of Godzilla. The return of Godzilla was the one that Eliza slept through and Godzilla versus Mothra, which is the first film we're talking about today, is the film that I initially slept through. So it was great to rewatch it and be like, oh yeah, those are all the sounds that happened whilst I was dreaming. Because as you said, with Return of Godzilla, that movie just screams in your face the whole time. Whereas this movie is full of tranquil, beautiful songs and the sound of golden sparkles shimmering down. It was awesome. Yeah, what a great way to finish the show in a way that I'm like, wow, so proud of Toho, because both of these films, we sort of gave a sneak preview of our thoughts last week, I think, but both of these films are the most sort of like even-handed, I guess, of the extreme tonal shifts of the franchise that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Both part one and part two had like very serious film, very goofy film. Mm-hmm. Whereas these films sort of like try to, you know, not always.
They're more on the silly side, I would say. More on the light side.
They are. But like the subplots, the plot mechanics of the goofy ones in part one and part two are fully just like, they have almost like no thematic relevance at all.
Social message in any way, really.
Yeah. Whereas these like are trying to, yeah, be about something at least at the same time. So
yeah, yeah. It's the franchise heading into the millennium era. We had a 90s movie with Godzilla vs. Mothra, and then our first movie of the 21st century.
Mm.
And yeah, it's fascinating to see where Toho was winding Godzilla up before we get into the movies that we would have seen in cinemas. Like
exactly.
The MonsterVerse really starting in Hollywood, and then after the millennium era, a few movies after, Giant Monsters All Out Attack, having Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, yeah.
It's a really nice
thing. I can't believe we're coming to the present day. No.
Oh my gosh. Godzilla meeting us in our time. He's grown so much.
Yeah.
Do you like Godzilla more? So there was so much to talk about with Return of Godzilla. When he got a new design, part of what he got was he got ears back. Mm. So sometimes
and
he
had articulated lips. So he'd go like, and like move his lips around.
One of the design notes for Return of Godzilla was to make him look sadder, to make him look like pained.
Bit where he was stunned and he was like conked out. You were like, oh, Baba.
He's disappointed. He's like, how have you not learnt the lesson from when I last came in 1954? Incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have two banger films to chat about today. You should head to our Patreon to listen to part two. And also we have a fun thing to announce for both, you know, regular listeners, any new fans. Here's what's happening with our Patreon. We have got a format of the show called the Slot Bucket, where we let members of our Patreon decide on our punishment. Essentially, you get to pick the piece of shit movie that we then have to watch. And we are opening our poll up to all members. So if you like want to get a little taste of what it's like over there, you can head on over. That poll, as of this episode, is going to be available for you to pick our poison.
You can torture us for free.
Torture us for free. Yeah. We'll quickly rattle off the three options you have to choose from. They are a no-budget Canadian DTV horror film shot on Super 8, which is an option that's been there since the start. So maybe its time has finally come. A former architect writes, directs, edits, caters, and stars as a hacker who causes government leaders to commit suicide en masse. Or the third option, Adam plus Eve plus Xanadu minus talent equals...
The movie.
You can cast your vote. You know when you watch a Godzilla movie and you're like, oh my God, why has democracy failed us? Why can't these horrible leaders just work together to serve our best interests? You can set it right and punish us.
The only truly democratic place in the world is our Patreon. It's our Patreon.
Hey, this is how it is, kids.
Wow.
Welcome to the world. Life's a bitch. Speaking of, we are doing such terrible things to our environment. Who can save us?
Yeah, maybe we need a mother of sorts. A mother.
I know. Pearl is
a Mothra stan.
Our cat Pearl is mourning for the state of the world. She is a Mothra stan.
Yeah. I can't believe, I'm so excited. We're going to talk about, like, I'm really stoked that they had a Mothra movie in the marathon.
I know. It's so good. You came in hot for Mothra. Like, again, I was
she's
a bit more
cute. It's literally just
than you.
Like, she's pretty.
And she is.
Oh. She's so gorgeous. Let's talk about Godzilla vs. Mothra.
Yeah. Godzilla vs. Mothra is a 1992 Godzilla kaiju film.
Imagine that.
It is the 19th film in the franchise, the fourth in the Heisei era, and another case of the chameleon nature of the franchise. We've had ones designed for families before, but this really actively feels like it's targeting a wide demo, both in trying to get as many people to it as it can, obviously, but also like the way it's connecting to the like environmentally friendly message of the franchise is the most clean cut of like, we should take care of the earth.
Very simplistic.
Like. Yeah. It's the sort of like, the like villain plot in this is very thin. It's essentially like what you get in the like, around the twist episode of like these evil.
Harold Gribble is trying to use Mothra to blah blah.
Exactly, exactly. So it essentially is Godzilla is back and an egg has appeared that contains the beautiful, the benevolent spirit of Mothra. It feels mean calling her a monster. She's not. She's like. Initially like a little caterpillary moth thing.
Yeah.
That in the marathon, so far we have seen her, but we haven't seen her in her full form.
Yeah, she was in Destroy All Monsters, but in her larval state, which is like, it's a real like classic glow up ugly duckling thing where when she's in her larval state, she just is a big turd.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know the whole movie, you're waiting for her to go into her cocoon and transform.
And we do here. Eliza, you're a big Mothra head. Did you get what you were looking for from Godzilla versus Mothra?
I did. I know what you mean that it is like more the most childish one of them. It's basically a kid's film. But
it
I
really
have to
is.
Say her transformation was the most like transcendent moment of the marathon for me.
Aww.
Combined with just that I was so, so tired and I knew it was going to happen and I was excited for it and it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like she's wrapped up in her silk on the side of a building, all of our human cast, the military, everybody's looking up at her. And when like her beautiful moth face finally pops out, it's like glitter is raining around her.
Yeah.
It's really a slow, indulgent, long scene. And Mothra is often flanked by these two fairies, the Shobijin.
The Cosmos.
Like, these little tiny pixies. Yeah, they're called the Cosmos in this movie. And they are like her heralds where like they'll sing a song to sort of welcome her or if they're in danger, she'll come to them like,
it's sort of like
beautiful
a little
mother.
A little prayer, like sort of like wishing them out and keeping them safe and stuff. Yeah.
And like having the screen be all pink and the glitter raining down and the beautiful Mothra puppet like shaking herself free of the cocoon and them singing like this gentle little harmony, like I almost cried honestly.
As opposed to the song,
and I was so tired.
It's so sweet though. It really is so beautiful. As opposed to the song in Mechagodzilla, that you're just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Not shut up. It's the whole song, and you're like, be quiet. In this movie, whenever the song was on, I was like, yay, it's so pretty. Like it was so nice. Yeah, Mothra is so gorgeous.
I haven't seen what Mothra looks like before. So I was just looking up Mothra.
Is she as cute as you expect?
Yeah, yeah. Very cute. Very like Pokemon.
Yes, absolutely.
But do you want to guess like or just hear some of the questions that people type into Google about Mothra?
What do they want to know?
Who is Mothra in love with?
Oh.
Godzilla.
Are Mothra and Godzilla together?
Yes.
Can Mothra and Godzilla have a baby?
Oh my gosh.
Who is Godzilla's son's mother? I don't know why that one's there.
Why Mothra not staying in kitchen? Oh my God.
You're telling me.
Is Mothra for the streets? Wow. Well, so they only want to know about her boyfriend?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Clearly, that's what all those messages are about. All those
actually no. About. Okay, there is one that says, "Is Mothra good or evil?"
Good. She's huge. She is a kaiju, so she'll do some destruction. She'll do some damage, but she's generally, if we've talked about Godzilla being cast often as like the protector of humanity, Mothra is way more uniformly like a force for good and like Mother Nature herself or whatever.
I think, well, yes. Firstly, it's one of the only monsters that it's just like resoundingly regarded, like their personality very much as a main, like is consistent in every appearance, it seems like. Mm. And is always this idea of, not that Godzilla is like a practical force, like Godzilla is also something that is like a force of nature, but that the truth of Mothra in spirit is that like inherently the earth wants to give to us, that the environment is happy for us
and
to
that she's
exist
fragile
and coexist together and is forgiving if not abused, you know,
yeah.
As we'll hear from this like really lovely interview that we had.
Do you want to listen to what these fans had to say?
I think so, yeah.
Because really we ran into two guests at the MIF All Night Marathon who admitted to being Mothra stans. Let's hear why they love her so.
How are you guys doing? It is 5:45 in the morning. How are you feeling?
Exhausted. Delusional and delirious and delightful.
Just been a bit rough. Like, I think I've actually had a cry. I'm fine. I'm all right.
And it doesn't, and we're actually here for Sim's birthday as well. So,
yeah.
This is,
so it's a planned thing.
It's a planned thing.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very special.
Nice. But we love it. We love Godzilla.
To actually see everything in a restored clarity and on a big screen is a huge thing. So I'm a fan of Mothra. I know, corny, I'm a chick.
I love that there's one that's like for girls. And it's like, I shamelessly, I'm like, yeah, I love it.
Absolutely. It's. I have to give a shout out to my friend Chris, because Chris was the one that kind of like edged me to love and hate Mothra. Because, you know, when we were teenagers growing up, watching a lot of anime and a lot of sci-fi, you know, Kong and Godzilla were the thing.
Mm.
And, yeah, Chris basically would say to me, like, let's watch some cheesy movies, and we'd always end up watching Godzilla films, and he'd always say, can I swear?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Fuck Mothra.
Why?
And that's what I would say. Why?
She's beautiful.
Absolutely. I'm going, you know, she's so positive. It's really, it's actually such a really good, healthy narrative to life, as well as, you know, it's encouraging. It's teaching everybody about how to protect and how to love and support.
And the first Godzilla movies are like the very first, like Tonight has been all about that. Like the first Godzilla movie is about those things. So Mothra's a very good mix of the two. Like the kind of heightened pageantry, but also like really sincere. Like it gets me all of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my whole thing is looking at both Mothra and Godzilla and kind of taking their determination and their appreciation and their love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of like going, that's what I want to be in life.
It's just good to see, like, you know, that they've kept true to the roots of Godzilla anyway. Like, they've kept the miniatures and they've kept everything sort of in that kind of theme. So it hasn't really destroyed it at all, even though they've decided to run with different narratives and, you know, do all these different things. It's still kept in that franchise, like, so yeah, I just think that they've done a fantastic job with it, and they've got this wonderful character that just makes me smile, even though he's this destructive little bastard.
He's so lovable.
Yeah, it's just something about him that I just love.
Yeah, isn't that so sweet? That, like, that was one of my favorite moments, even as you said, like, not only were you having a really nice reaction to her transformation, but the whole audience like applauded and stuff that like, it was a nice reminder in the middle of this very communal experience of this marathon that, like, there is such an attachment to the identity of these different characters that are just miniatures or people in suits. Like people have a, you know, like how interesting that someone would be like, I know it's such a chick thing to love Mothra, but like,
yeah.
And you're like, it's literally like in theory, just a miniature, but really it's this idea that inside of these films that, you know, people watch, you know, with some drinks and are like, oh, it's just a wrestling match. Like, oh my God, who would like Mothra? You're like, there is something really sweet and sincere about one of the monsters genuinely being like, I am a pacifist looking to resolve conflict.
I do think it's funny that it's like, as the interview subject said, like, she's like one for the girls. Like it's the chick coded kaiju.
Yeah.
And like, that she's like delicate and sweet and nice and is literally like a butterfly, basically.
Yeah.
Like it has, it's, it reminds me of when we were ragging on Madame Web earlier this year and you were like, why is it that the worst one is the, like the girl one?
Especially because in the other movies that we watched from the Showa era, like Mothra, like again, we didn't see Mothra versus Godzilla, but in Destroy All Monsters, Mothra was just like so sidelined, like was essentially just irrelevant.
It's weird as well that like back in 1964, Mothra versus Godzilla was the fourth movie in the franchise. And then they just flipped the title to Godzilla versus Mothra for like the 19th film. Like they really were like, have we done these ones before? Fuck, we have. Okay, it's all right. It's all right. Switch it around.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's so true. I was like, I thought there was another one called Godzilla versus Mothra, but they had just
Mothra versus Godzilla.
It is a film that has that thing that very much carries over to the even the American MonsterVerse ones of like Godzilla is in all these films, of course, but sometimes is much more like, the idea of Godzilla as a cultural symbol is so strong that the movies sometimes are barely about Godzilla. This movie is really
he's
about
Mothra.
He's
just a straight up bad guy in
this. He's the villain in this. That's what I mean. We spoke about last week, like sometimes the film spends so much time talking about him as just answering the call, you know, an avenger of the environment of planet Earth. But it, and I don't think that isn't in this film as well. But in this film, truly Mothra is more so coming to protect Earth on behalf of Earth if we can do our part and respect the good that she's done for us.
Yeah.
It is a big film for – initially I was kind of here for the, you know, again, for the human drama stuff. You just apply a random subgenre to it to make it work and it's literally not even thinly veiled Indiana Jones ripoff. It has both the Boulder sequence and the Temple of Doom bridge collapse, which for being like, oh, this literally just feels like a Disney Channel movie in a way that's kind of, you know, kind of feels familiar in an, you know, when you're just watching them all like a marathon, especially isn't that offensive. It's more so once you get to the third act and it's just three monsters fighting that you're like, okay, that stuff at the start like, was so irrelevant.
I don't care about the main character getting divorced. Like, it's also very like Hollywood adventure movie that it's like the main characters are a separated husband and wife. Mm-hmm. Like it's a divorce comedy or whatever.
And he has the spirit of man in that he's like a thief and he's just taking these artifacts to sell them.
She's like, when are you going to settle down and be a good example to our daughter? And then you only see the daughter at the end and the daughter's like, we have to care for the environment. Yeah. Like it is real, Disney Channel original movie kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's like Indiana Jones, yes. Spielberg, yes, definitely. With the kid focus. And the movie is really fascinatingly tied to Jurassic Park for me.
Because, how so?
Spielberg has said that Godzilla was the original was a big influence on Jurassic Park for seeing that could do such a special effects driven movie and have it still have pathos. And the whole Godzilla franchise, like we've kept calling it kaiju movies, but it's also like this other genre, tonkatsu movies, where it's like special effects driven films that like were obviously really propelled in Japan by Godzilla. And
as in that's just a term for like
that's just a term for like
effects.
Where the hero of the movie is a special effect kind of.
Yeah, totally.
Not tonkotsu, like the ramen broth base.
No, it's
tonkatsu.
Tokusatsu. I'm hungry, obviously. I'm sorry. But then in the box office in 1992 when Godzilla vs. Mothra came out, the movie did really well, but not as well as Jurassic Park.
And oh, it's wow.
Like,
that's
so funny. These movies about like parents or like parent figures cowering around under like big critters and, Yeah, and they came from the same place. I think.
And
it's
that
cute.
Idea of your children, sort of like, or like kids, you know, outside of you wanting them to be sort of being this mirror to the choices you've made and being the ones that bring you back together, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's weird that like even though it was quite simple, I kind of liked that it was the human drama was really giving you a formula that you're comfortable in. That I was like, if we're going really light, like fully, like not even PG, like G vibe family film, for sure, take me there. But then the way that the monster stuff obviously just becomes a million times more interesting and everything about the human drama becomes irrelevant is like, why did we do that for like 45 minutes? The movie nearly goes for 2 hours. So you're like, what a waste.
I think also for it to be more family friendly and have this little kid protagonist who's like, we have to care about the environment. Like, it's not correct to me. Like, that it has a practical thing where at the end she's like, it's up to all of us. Like, we can make a difference. And like, that's true to an extent. But when the movie pans out at the end, you know, Godzilla's been defeated, Mothra's like, and her fairies have been set free. The humans have realized they need to be more delicate and caring with the planet. Like, it's the little girl and her divorced parents standing next to like the evil CEOs who are going to kidnap the Cosmos pixies and like use them for promotional purposes. And it's like, oh, you want me to use like a paper straw? You want me to use a keep cup? Like, why don't we just kill these guys? And that will make more of an impact on the environment.
Fully. It's actually, I was going to point out that thing of being like, you know, it has the fake out moment where it's like, oh, where are the Cosmos? Where are these fairies? We need them to, like, the
they
reason.
They can help control Mothra.
They can help control Mothra. And they're the reason that Mothra is trying to stomp through
crazy
the city.
And smushing everything.
Where are they? And it's like the lead character has, like, stolen them from under the government to resell them on the to the US or something. And you're like, that is usually a plot point reserved for, like, you know, selling off an important artifact or something. It's literally a box with two little fairies in it. Like, it's kind of that thing of being like, oh no, dad's dealing in human trafficking.
I guess you're like, it's like Jurassic Park where it's like, you can't monetize this. Like, you can't do this to nature.
But again, even in Jurassic Park, the distancing power that the annoying dude in that movie, whatever his name is, the guy from Seinfeld, what's his? That guy. Newman.
You didn't say the magic
word. Yeah, the Newman guy. That
Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, great. I was like, Eliza, you know stupid shit like this. Come on. That.
Where it steals the embryos.
Like, yeah, it's like embryos. In this film, it's literally two little singing things, like two little singing sentient.
You wouldn't pay to go to their concert?
Yeah, but I'm not going to like ship them in a crate as though it's just like the Ark of the Covenant or something like an Indiana Jones. It's fully like, oh, dad, you were going to sell these humans. Like, he should go to jail forever. He's horrible.
Yeah.
But on the point you were making, it's interesting because I was going to kind of say, like, we talked with Return of Godzilla about a film that is both trying to deal with the gravity and impossibility of bureaucracy and then make very simple, overtly optimistic solutions to it for the purposes of an entertaining film. And in this movie, I almost thought because it was like a Disney Channel G-rated movie, I could buy that a lot better because the tone of it was literally... It's appropriate because the tone is literally this time just, we should care for the environment. Like, we should be good to Mother Nature.
Yeah,
it's dumb and doesn't have resolution.
And,
but I was like, it fits better here than the movies in the franchise that try to be about something and then paint really easy solutions. You know what I mean?
I think before we move on, we got to mention Batra as
well. I was going to say, awesome design.
Yeah.
Who's Batra?
Batra. So... the Cosmos explain to our main characters that Batra is like a dark mirror to Mothra and they've battled in the past and they've both been dormant for ages and she's like the goth mirror to Mothra. She's a bit more inspired by bats, I guess, from her name.
Yeah, and has these like yellow lightning coursing through and like red
she's
eyes.
She's like the nasty version of her. She's like the tethered, like Jordan Peele's us.
Yeah.
But it's really cute that as the movie goes on.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, the girls unite against Godzilla. It's so sweet.
And I thought it was going to be Godzilla being like, them being like, oh, Godzilla wasn't trying to fight the city. Godzilla was trying to fight Batra. But it's actually
Mothra. Called Godzilla versus Mothra. They got it. Yeah. But it is funny. They have an extra
villain who turns pretty quickly. Like they have this nonverbal kind of little,
yeah,
where she's like, I know you don't like me, but like this guy's going to kill me and kill everybody. Like, come on, girl. And she's like, okay, sis, let's go in there.
And they do.
Spray him.
And it's of the films we've seen, as we talked about in Destroy All Monsters, Rodan, for a monster that has the ability to fly,
useless,
it's never utilized in a visually interesting way. They do a really good job with the suitmation in this one.
Yeah, the motion of their wings.
The motion of the wings and finding variation in the sort of ways that an attack would take place, yeah, between a lizard dinosaur monster.
They knock over a Ferris wheel onto him and he's like, ah!
Yeah, and then they both like, they're moving a mattress, like they're moving in, they like pick up to both you, ends of him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They like pivot him into the ocean. Aww. Yeah, I thought the classic like action beats of kaiju fighting were like a good, not return to form, but there hadn't really been much monster fighting in, is there another monster in Return of Godzilla?
It's just him, huh?
It's just him and the government weapons, really.
Yeah.
So this is like for the millennium era, like we're stepping into like, oh yeah, they can like find some better variations on the actual battling in this one, yeah, that we've seen for a
bit more sophisticated than the beatdown we love so much in Destroy All Monsters.
We do love the stomping though, just the curb stomping of that one. yeah, I think this film is what it says on the box, and I like the box.
Yeah, I almost cried at the box.
You did.
It was so beautiful and glittery. Before we push on to tragically the final movie of our Godzilla-thon, let's hear from someone very near and dear to me. It's a little bit of a flashback to earlier in the night at MIFF's Godzilla marathon, but this is Buster tapping out of the experience. After a couple of movies.
Hard tap out after Mechagodzilla.
Weak.
We have Buster here. And Buster, I would like to know, of all of the monsters that we've met so far, is there any that you really identify with? Is there any that you're like, their spirit speaks to me?
I don't know. I kind of like... I like King Caesar being very flashy and getting his kind of song entrance and then ultimately just kind of like shrinking in the clutch, getting beaten up and then walking backwards into a mountain and kind of going back into a cave at the end.
You'd mind his laziness.
That's what I'm doing now, so I guess.
Yeah, you're leaving, you're tapping out after three movies.
It's all about the promise, it's all about the sell. You don't really actually need to come through at all. He had a cool look, but he mostly just was in the background.
Just no one ever has to do a literal song and dance to get Godzilla to come out.
Exactly, he's just there.
Always ready to play, every night, you know, he's bringing it.
Consistently.
All season, yeah.
Exactly.
What, having watched three movies of this marathon, what have you learnt about Godzilla that you didn't know before?
That's true.
That he has a son or daughter. I don't
like
really
Drake.
Know which.
He comes out of nowhere. You're like, oh.
Godzilla, you know, wasn't hiding his son from the world. He was hiding the world from his son.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
And his child was the exact opposite of King Caesar in that the whole audience was laughing at the fact that he was literally in the back corner of every frame until he's like, oh, by the way, I can do this, and then proceeds to like shoot a decapitating ray beam from his mouth, which is really helpful. If you had to invent a kaiju to face Godzilla, what would it be? It could be a foe, or it could be a friend, possibly a lover. Mm-hmm. Like, what flavor do we think is missing from the roster?
I want like a Quatto. I think I want like a kaiju with a little kaiju inside it that controls it.
With a little guy in there.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm. It's what I need. It's what I want.
That sounds really good.
Well, we need to make that happen. Yeah.
And it's just Godzilla that has a bow on it.
And red lipstick.
That, I suspect that that might have been done. Yeah, you might probably be seeing Godzilla in one or two films' time. But I think I'm going to make like King Caesar, guys, and slink back to my St. Kilda cave.
Oh, well, thank you for enduring however many hours it was with us.
It's been a pleasure.
It's too much music, no.
Well, aren't you two forgetting something?
How about channel 27?
Blood pressure of 160 over 80. Heart rate of 88. Normal sinus at this time. Respiratory rate of 18.
Everything is going to be all right. You have only to stay inside. You only have to stay all right. Do not look outside. Do not look outside. Do not need to look outside. Look out, look out, look out, look out, look out.
Anthony has helpfully pointed out that the acronym of this film, Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack, is Gumkagauma. G-M-K-G-M-A-O-K-A.
I think. If I got the letters of
I think that's right.
Gumkagugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugugug
Gamauwa. I will say it will save time for our discussion. And I'm gonna, I know I make too many little games and suggestions, but I think we gotta earn our keep. And I'm gonna say, is there a it just sounds like a Power Rangers show or something, that maybe by the end of the episode, instead of trying to reduce it, is there like a Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack theme song? Like, like a little melody.
Wait, that we're going to sing every time.
No, just like some sort of tune that we can use, you know, like 1-3-0-0-6-5-5-0-6, like something that connects to that title that we can have by the end of the episode that really like pumps us up.
Okay. I'll hear it at the end of the episode. We'll come up
with it. Yeah. It's something sort of like just like I'm hearing like 80s Rangers, power.
Mystic Force or something like that.
Exactly. All something right. like that. It's just if it's in we the works, that. I think it could be in the pot, you know, as if we don't already have enough in the pot with these freaking monsters.
This title is a problem and it's an additional obstacle we have here is someone has been left out.
Bizarre. So
rude.
Weird.
Really unfair to poor Boragon.
Based on especially screen time as well.
Yeah. So yes, it has Godzilla in it. It has my beloved Mothra in it again, who doesn't put in a great appearance, I would say.
Yeah, pretty exactly. Weak.
After we just saw her beat his ass in the last movie.
They always misuse her.
King Ghidorah, cool, but also sized down. He's about the size of Godzilla in this movie when he isn't normally.
I love King Ghidorah. And clearly the problem with him is he is like notably one of the monsters that you see and you're like, he looks really OP.
Like, yeah, you're like, he could beat Godzilla. He has three heads.
He can fly and has three heads.
A way that they, I think, take him down a notch is he has a very giggly sound. He's like, ah! as his like spam sound.
That's why he had to get so buff.
What did you just say about my love? Yeah. And then that's not all. It's Godzilla versus three guardian monsters. And one of them is Baragon, who didn't make it into the title.
Baragon's poor awesome. Baragon. Great design. Yeah. Look, this movie is not short on the monsters.
No, it really isn't. We haven't gone into the details of the eras too much, but this movie is one chapter of the Millennium Era and the two movies right before it were flops. And then this one is considered by a lot of Godzilla-like true heads to be a big fan fave.
Mm.
And right from the
Godzilluminati.
The Godzilluminati. Yeah. Wow.
Or the Godzillies. Sorry.
Silly Godzillies. It wasn't as good as Godzilluminati.
I'll work on it. Yeah. I'll work on that. You guys work
on the
song.
You have a song to make and you also have
Oh my gosh, don't talk to me for the next 30 minutes.
But from the title, I was like, that's nuts. This is going to be so much fun. And I have to say, I didn't love this movie as much as I thought I would.
What? You're kidding.
I'm sorry.
I feel like this has everything.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah, even the human drama I get through more.
The human
this
aspect
one.
Was really cool.
It's good.
It opens with this sort of morally bankrupt, News of the World-esque tabloid show promising that there are kaiju coming out or that there's going to be some fantastical sci-fi thing happening in the mountains around Tokyo. And even that change of setting is cool, that it's in small mountain towns at first rather than all taking place in the city or by the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked this main character, Yuri.
Me too.
Who she's a sort of like a good time gal. She's a reporter. She doesn't take anything seriously. And over the course of the movie, you see her being like, "Hi, I might really get smushed. This is actually happening." And I gotta lock my shit down a little bit more.
And she's like, I want to do, she has the same plot like objective as Kate Hudson in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where she's like, I want to write about, I want to do serious stories.
Yeah.
I want to do good news. But yeah, as you said, I think I will let you go on about plot, but I like that her character ties well into, it's a film that focuses more than a lot of the others on, we talked, it's pretty prominent in Return of Godzilla, but the idea that we can't forget our past or where we came from, that we can't let things be myths and stuff. And not just that idea, but using a journalist to sort of showcase that idea by being like, as you said, like,
oh, what stories do we tell?
Yeah, like I want there to be some new big dramatic thing so I can make my big story, and then being like, no, you don't want that. You know, that idea that, like, you know, what business thrives when the world is falling apart? The news, the media, like a journalist that wants their big story.
Yeah.
And then they're thrust into the middle of the Armageddon of this, like, monster attacks and being like, oh gosh, the actual reality of these stories needs to be told, not to be sensationalized.
We've got to be responsible.
But to be respected. Yeah.
Yeah. The big element you're probably referencing here is a change in law, which I think kind of rocked. In this film, they explain that Godzilla is sort of like possessed. He's possessed by the fallen souls of soldiers and people who died during the 1940s and 50s Pacific War. He's like chock full of dead Japanese of people.
Trauma.
And then in turn, the three guardian monsters who rise up and sort of look after humanity and try to put Godzilla down are all imbued with the souls of everybody who died in the 1954 film. And it's like, so he has many more souls. Is that why he's more powerful? Godzilla is very OP in this movie. As you said, like,
he's the real three villain others, mode.
Yeah, really struggle to take him down. And ultimately, they really need humanity's help. So it's a really fascinating take on what we've talked about all along of, like, how involved is humanity? Like, did we make Godzilla? Is it our responsibility? What are we meant to do about it?
Inside of something that, again, is not, you know, we talk lots about I think the focus of today's two films is trying to blend the different styles a bit more. And we just described those quite, you know, theme-heavy additions to the mythology of the characters, but wrapped up in something that is like the whole film will be set pieces. Like, it's always moving. It's full of different variations of monster attacks, and it has all the, like, blind fun and like visual excitement of these films, but with the other stuff at the same time. Do you think they didn't blend well together necessarily? What didn't work for you this time?
I guess maybe it just wasn't quite as much fun as the title promised to me. Like, I do see that it is shaking things up in a cool way. There was stuff here that maybe it's in other Millennium Era movies, but, like, it wasn't in any of the other movies that we saw in this marathon. Like, they had some crazy low angle shots looking up at Godzilla. I was like, why haven't they done that more? That's crazy. Like, when he's beating up Baragon, you're like kind of looking at his crotch. You're like, oh, Godzilla doesn't have any junk. How come I never noticed that?
It really is interesting. A lot of the, like, again, I think something we realized more as we got to these last two is just that, like, it feels almost like a Unit 1, Unit 2 style of filmmaking thing where it's like one person will make the film around the fights, and then the fights will be wide angle, the miniatures set, a person in a suit fighting.
We have intricate explosions we need to go off. We have, like, this effect, like, very carefully choreographed.
Which is a great part of it, obviously. Yeah. But, like, the choice, to a thing that is charming throughout, obviously, but also, like, it is really refreshing when directors don't see it as, like, two separate films inside one film, and it all is allowed to be one, like, unified vision. And I think I think Return of Godzilla has those more, like, grounded moments that still incorporate the monsters inside it that I appreciate.
In the human side.
More. Yeah, that, like, you know, again, you're, like, trapped inside a building and then seeing a monster, like, outside the window and things like that. That I'm like, that's the real scary idea, is being this little ant in the middle of this fight. I think that's something that they're much more concerned with in the current, like, monster movies and stuff. But
they really need to, now they know that they need to work on the human stuff a lot so that people don't walk out being like, I just wanted to see Godzilla. He's the main star. I bought a ticket for that. Not like fucking Millie Bobby Brown or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that movie struggles.
This movie does a really interesting thing with its human characters, I reckon, which is it makes them quite obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the early villains, it's quite like a horror movie where at the start when all the guardian monsters are awakening, Godzilla is first attacking. It's all these shithead people getting got by the kaiju in a way that feels like a slasher to me where like you see the stupid cheerleader and the jerk like businessman get picked off. And like it's quite like it, I think it showcases like a post-millennium fear for where society and like even teenagers are heading. Like there's some kids that put a dog in a box and want to drown it. And if Mothra hadn't showed up to wreck their shit, that dog would have drowned.
Would fully have. And the dog survives and they all die, right?
Yeah, good, good.
It's very, very true that like it is not only speaking about being like, oh, we can't forget where we came from, but also being like, we have active disdain for the culture that we've arrived at that would forget this.
It's kind of like we deserve this a little bit. Like the guardian monsters are very heroic. Godzilla is very villainous.
Yeah.
And the humans are like loser rodents running around.
Oh, dude, so true.
Speaking of rodents, this movie was released in cinemas as a double feature with the movie Ham Taro, Adventures in Ham Ham Land.
Yeah, you've got to give them what they want.
Godzilla, Giant Monsters, Ecstasy, All Out Effect, Time to Die, and Ham Taro, Adventures in Ham Ham Land. You're like, oh, like so many nouns.
Your brain would snap. Rocks. Oh my God, that's so fun. Well, we should have watched that as well.
Yeah, maybe we'll watch Ant-Man Land someday. There was also the absolutely crazy scene of one of these like, vignettes of people encountering the kaiju awakening or whatever. A guy killing himself in Aokigahara suicide forest.
Yes.
And then the ground
and
opens
then it
up.
Opens up before him.
And Ghidorah is like sleeping under a layer of ice under there. Do you think that would make you want to kill yourself more? Or do you think it would make you think, wow, life is precious. Let me get this noose off my neck.
I think you'd be like, irregardless, I'm going to die. So let's just follow this thing now.
Yeah.
Again, like I'm just so surprised that that doesn't make it one that stands out to you. Because again, like how many of these movies have had variation in little moments like that? Like as you said, there's like multiple
nutty, like that.
Nutty scenarios that are fully someone had a set piece idea that isn't just what's happening to our main characters, what's happening to the monsters, but like these are world events. These are huge natural disasters. Like what are the little human beats inside it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's also inextricable from this being the last movie where we were gone. I was dead.
It's true.
Like
it's true.
Maybe I need to rewatch this one because I'm remembering how I felt at the end of the myth marathon. But it's also like there's so much that works about it for me. And the movie was apparently like a big influence on the Godzilla Minus One team, particularly of how it ended things of like Godzilla's atomic breath or his own abilities sort of being used against him to defeat him. That's a bit of a spoiler alert. Sorry for Minus One. And the very, very ending of seeing his heart still alive under the ocean. That's so cool being like, you know, it's kind of a basic idea, but just being like, he's going to come back, like no matter what, at the end of the film.
And relates to that point you made that like Toho's rules for Godzilla, one of them being like, it can never be that he's like resoundingly defeated. There always has to be like something that can come back.
Starting to really galvanize the formula. Like I like, there's nothing here where I'm like, that didn't work for me. That bit pissed me off or anything. But I just like didn't have as much of a great time with it as I thought I would. Did you have a ball? You thought it was super fun?
I agree that I'm like, if there was any of these that I was going to rewatch, it would be this one because this Midnight Marathon, we did it for real. Like we were exhausted by this one. But I remember just being like, oh, notably, this film is giving us everything because it is not going for easy. It's saying new things about the themes that have run throughout the series. As you said, there's like thoughts not just on humanity in general, but like, this actual culture's generational differences between young people and older people. And then the monster action is varied and funny and not lazy. And I thought it was really great. I would definitely say I was like, Ended like this happens with the marathons a lot, where like the last ones are the ones you're most keen to watch, but then you're like,
I don't have it in me.
My brain is goo. Yeah.
I think I also didn't like that we ended on him being so nasty. Godzilla himself being such a bad guy.
This is an outside the marathon aside, but we were obviously after we recorded part one laughing so much about Manila, the son of Godzilla, and wanted to watch more clips of him. And it kind of showed how little we really know about the legacy of Godzilla, because we watched these scenes in the very heightened, ridiculous family era of
Toho. It was like Brady Bunch.
Where Godzilla is like a neglect, like a cold, abusive dad to Manila. And you're like, not like, I guess I really thought that there would be a consistency with Godzilla throughout the films, and there generally is, but inside of these six films, sometimes he is a force of nature that while he's destroying your house, you understand that you are reaping what you sowed. And sometimes you're like, what monster can we get to fucking kill Godzilla, this evil dick right now?
Yeah.
Like, as in Godzilla versus Mothra, in that film, he's just a villain. Like, he's just the bad guy.
Maybe it was a little disappointing to me to have him be kind of an uncomplicated incarnation for the last one.
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, it's the one that I would love to rewatch. But
I'll re-watch would love to rewatch
all of these. How do we even wrap up what this experience was? Do we attempt to rank?
Oh my God. I don't think I could.
Well, my favorite was the 54 one. Like, it's the best.
And then you love Return.
I would say of the others we watched, my
Destroyer was the most fun.
Would be Return of Godzilla. I would say Destroyer Monsters was the funnest, and the moment of the marathon for me was the final battle of Destroyer Monsters.
And for me, it was Mothra emerging from her cocoon in Godzilla vs. Mothra.
Which was beautiful.
This one, Gum Kagao, is the rewatch one where I'm like, it's going to take me another time to get it.
Totally.
Mechagodzilla was the dud, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was my least favorite.
So yeah, they all have something. They all stood out to us in some way or other.
Yeah. My big takeaways from this marathon, we learned a lot. My big ones would be, this is my new series for like when I want to chuck something on to watch in the background or while I'm cooking dinner or I just want to like have some drinks with some friends. I like want to check in on him, see him in different styles and formats.
I mean, Minus One was like a big hit and won a fucking Oscar. So we're going to get more Godzilla as well.
Yeah.
And we can be in front of the line, front row seats.
Absolutely. We'll probably take you there. I was saying we're definitely before the end of the year going to do a Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One twin picks, just because I fully have Godzilla fever. Equally, in a kind of a relevant note, but it just needs to be said, I want to get really good at pinball. And there's a Godzilla pinball machine that's at the Astor as well.
We spilled an Asahi on it one time.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
That's okay.
Do I tell the whole thing? I'm not going to tell the depth of the whole thing, but essentially we learned from this pinball master that you're supposed to give, it's part of the
You're allowed to bash the pinball machine around.
Like there's an acceptable amount of like nestling it and sort of like jostling it. That is part of the rules. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try that next time I practice. And we were at the Astor in the overlook section they have at that cinema, which is like a little cafe, and they have a Godzilla pinball machine, and I tried it and I knocked over my fucking beer and it spilled everywhere, and the machine started being like screaming at me.
Did it?
Well, it just had the thing that says...
Oh, not because of the beer, but because it was like, don't knock me.
Because it's like, you've moved the meter in this, like, that says
you were
it's
the real Godzilla in that situation.
I came in,
the city and you like came in swinging.
No, I think I manilaed it, honestly. I don't think that's a Godzilla in it.
Well, so you said before that you had Godzilla fever, but what you should have said was that you had Godzillness.
Yeah, good. You've been on pun duty for this, so we appreciate it.
I have to ask Anthony as well, hearing us talk about these movies at length, are you also... have you got the Godzillaness now? Will you watch?
Yeah, I guess so. Yay. Yeah, what would I watch first? I would probably watch the 54.
Yeah.
But if I had to not watch the 54 and pick one of the others.
Today's ones.
Yeah, I would probably, I actually maybe would like go backwards or something. Like, maybe I would watch Minus One first.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you seen either of the new ones?
No.
Yeah.
Let's go see them.
Maybe for the twin pick when we do it, we can all do it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm really keen to talk about them. I just think it's like a beautiful franchise and that it's about like fan, like the fan community reaction to this is equally about how a symbol, a character becomes a symbol of so many things and all those things are valid. That was the most interesting discussion part to me of this was like that, yeah, no one meaning or one state of being for this character is like a misdirection.
Fluid.
I do think obviously there were periods where it was too silly for too long, but like.
It's like James Bond as well. Like you James love watching Bond. Those stupid ass Roger Moore ones.
And sometimes I'm like, I want to watch one of the like, I want to like sit down and really watch one of those like ones that like tears your heart or like makes you really, you know, feel rough. And then sometimes you're like, I want to see a car go underwater.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I just love Godzilla as like a movie star. It's cool that it's a character. It's an effect. It's a guy in a suit. It's like a lizard creature. What if like a non-human star that people buy tickets for? I'm like, that rocks.
So true. We watched six films where at all times of the night, where every time Godzilla appeared, you were like, I'm going to cheer. Like every time you were compelled
pointing
to be like.
Pointing at the screen, that's Chappie. That's Godzilla.
Exactly. Every single time.
Amazing.
Do we think that Kobru and Swoopilla stand a chance in Toho's universe? Yes. I think if you can do that drawing, we can get together a little like pitch deck and send it to them.
Okay.
We can pitch it. It would be like, you know, there's like, you know, Jason takes Manhattan and stuff.
Yeah.
It would be like Godzilla takes.
Down under.
Exactly. And he just dies of dehydration in like Western Australia.
I think it would be cute if Godzilla went around. This time he's not fueled by nuclear power. He's fueled by big things. Like he goes for the big banana and the big prawn and the big koala. You know, he has to collect them all like Del Toro quests.
And we love.
They kill him by pushing him into a giant vat of Vegemite. And he's like, no, it's too strong for my sensibilities.
The salt just prunes him. That's a great idea. Awesome. And also we love the structure of thing, the film plot structure.
Collect them all. You have to collect these seven different colored gems.
Amazing.
Like, oh, it like tickles my brain so
much. It'd be like Our Infinity War. I love that so much.
More importantly, are we going to do this song? Do you have a song?
Have you been working on that?
No.
I'm not even convinced that I know the proper title of the film, given that I got the acronym wrong before. So
I was mostly trusting you to take us out on this. So that's
really
like, disappointing.
Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah. Dry monsters all out attack.
Yeah, I think there needs to be like a clap sort of thing.
I could it work in the dun 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 somehow.
Yeah. Godzilla, Mothra.
King Ghidorah,
giant monsters all out attack.
That's horrible.
All out attack.
All out attack works, but the rest of
it. No, I think it needs to be like, it needs to feel like you're watching like a Saturday morning cartoon, you know? Maybe we work on that.
I don't think we do. Let's just forget this happened. But keep Godzilla within our hearts and remember the marathon at large.
I'm going to come back stronger and better than ever and not let this die. Okay. It has to. Thanks for listening. If you've joined us for the first time ever for this, that's really exciting and welcome.
Hi.
We've had the best time doing it. Thank you to Myth for putting together such an awesome marathon.
Yeah, made our month.
I think we wouldn't have picked a better spread of films as well. Like we, as we said, we were.
It was nice going in, having it chosen for you.
Yeah, we were fully like intending to do this. Mm-hmm. And instead this was a way better communal, fun, exhausting way to do it. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Letterboxd and become a patron of the show to listen to next week's episode, which is for our Patreon patrons of the show exclusively. Next week, we have a twin pick episode. What are we talking about, Eliza?
We're talking about Elvira. Gosh, I love her. Cassandra Peterson. Two Elvira movies.
That's
Elvira,
right.
Mistress of the Dark and Elvira's Haunted Hills.
That's it.
I feel like she'd be into it being like twin picks. It's like twins, like boobs, like two Haunted Hills. Like
actually get the puns ready for next week. There's going to be a lot of
boob puns.
Those movies are like 95% puns. It's great. Yeah, so keen. Amazing. Well, goodbye. Not forever. Until next time, Godzilla.
Godspeed.
Hey, one more for the role.
Wow. Just in like the last 20 minutes, it's like you started to do something to your brain.
I've been God's illuminated.
You already used that one. You already said God's Illuminati.
That's quite similar, actually.
I've seen God's face and it was similar.
I shouldn't have tried.
Did you say God damn it?
No, I said God damn it. I just said God damn it. I said the word God.
The God makes it easy, I feel.
It does.
Yeah.
No one will tackle the Zilla.